Oh, yeah. Hey. Ouch. That was my head hitting the microphone. Beautiful. All right. Do you recognize these dulcet tones? It's Joe Naylor back in the studio here with you. My God, that's pretty cranked there, Mike. But I think we need to turn that microphone up. Yes, you shouldn't have to suffer to hear me really loudly. All right. Now, for some of you who don't remember me, I guess that was my number one hit from CITR, Professional Personalities, which, oddly enough, was written on the basis of this guy who was running for the mayor, and for some reason, ill-advised, he was told, you should go out to UBC's radio station and talk to some of the people out there. So, he was on the phone talking to his press agent, saying, I don't think this went very well. They didn't seem to be all that interested in what I had to say. So that kind of led to the idea that, I wonder if there is some sort of, behind the throne advisor group that is actually telling some guy like that what to do. And if he wanted to get a refund for sounding like what he probably was, which was a bit of a moron. I'm sure he had some cash. Maybe not quite as an egregious moron as Donald Trump, but remember, this would have been back in 1979, I'm thinking maybe 1980, when Professional Personalities hit the road. Anyway, that was back in the day when this building was still kind of in its infancy. These studios were more or less state-of-the-art, and people were actually coming out of CITR and getting real radio jobs. I got a young guy sitting across from me making sure that I don't talk for the entire hour, but good luck trying to enforce any discipline on me, kid. I've faced more august judges than you. I don't have the money of Howard Stern, but I certainly have the attitude of contrarianism. Anyway, that guy, his political career shortly was subsumed into nothing and disappeared into the ether. All right, so back in those days, we made our own commercials. Here's one for you right now. Let's see.
Oh, Debbie, oh, baby.
Oh, Eddie.
Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. I want you.
Oh, Eddie, not here. I don't know if I'm in the mood to.
Oh, I want you, baby.
I'm not on the pill or anything. Oh, be careful. Please. Oh,
don't worry, baby. I brought a rubber.
Are those things safe? Oh.
Sure, it's okay. This one's made by Johnson's.
That's right. Eddie's no jerk. He knows the value of safe and efficient penetration. That's why he uses Johnson's prophylactics. For over 100 years, Johnson's has been a household word. And no wonder, with its reputation of safety and reliability. So next time you got a tingle, remember our jingle.
If it's pleasure that you treasure, no matter what you measure, Johnson's, Johnson's is the one. Johnson's, Johnson's, safe and fun.
Next time you're into bedroom tactics, don't forget Johnson's Prophylactics.
That's right. Johnson's Prophylactics will be our sponsor today on this great radio program here. Well, I brought a couple of different copies of the same programming material, thinking, okay, I don't know what the kids are using. Are they using computers? Are they using MP3s of some description? And I thought, well, I'll be safe. And of course, one of them doesn't work, but what the hell. Okay. Now, one of the aspects of CITR, which I don't know if it still continues, I know Nardwar the Human Serviette, who apparently, as one of our more at least infamous alumni, was on the air earlier, I presume. Is that true?
Yep.
was here, and he has a band. Now, I'm not saying it was a great band, but back in our day, we actually had a number of musicians, and essentially, when you're paying, I think, up to $700 for a term of your tuition, which would cover, what, 4 hours of class time at UBC these days?
Yeah.
We expected to have full access to the student union building, so we would put on concerts downstairs in the sub-auditorium, which has, I don't know if you've heard it, excellent acoustics, and sounds really good when you've got a couple of large Marshall stacks. I think I was running 810s and 215s for my speaker system. Some drummer who had made by a thing called Milestones, which essentially uses old sewage line polymer plastic so that it can be incredibly loud. And we would blast down there. And then if we wanted to play a little more quietly, we would use the student lounge here at UBC, which of course was connected by a series of tubes, much like the internet operates for you kids these days. And we could record ourselves. So as you can tell, we're having kind of an audio narcissistic fun time today. So let's see. Here's a good buddy of mine, Warren Etkin, with me on bass, guitar, Barry Gordon on sax. Thank you. indeed. I'd like to apologize for the fact that that was jazz. Good God, eh? Now, you know, that's Lauren Etkin on drums. I played with Lauren Etkin at a fantastic event financed by all of the pot dealers up in Nelson, B.C. And they got Cheyenne... Let me remove my mint. Cheyenne sound to install this sound system. And I swear, it was as big as Woodstock. And we were thrown on around 11 o'clock at night. And I remember touching my low E string and hearing it go, funk. And then you could feel that frequency moving out into the mountain basin, hitting the mountainside about, 2 miles away from the stage and then reverberating back. Now, for those of you who have megalomaniacal tendencies, just think how powerful you might feel if you had that amount of wattage under your fingertips. It's a beautiful thing. Anyway, I remember Terry Edmonds, after a little drum solo, said, "That's Lauren Etkin on the phone." Oh, I mean on drums. Well, he was on the phone earlier. And that's because blues musicians like to drink. Well, that's probably true about all musicians. Anyway, Lauren Etkin was one of the many people who would be playing out here. What I discovered is that I had problems waiting for people. So I started on bass because it got me access to better musicians. But on that last track, I played bass and I played guitar. Why? Because I don't want to wait for a guitar player to show up. And I'll tell you, if I could sing, then I would have been set. Right? Because singers are the worst. I mean, they're a nightmare. So I did try singing a little bit. What have we got here? That's one of my videos. I'll skip that one. Let's see what's on next. Next. Come on, next. What do we got here? No text, no audio. Give it to me, baby. Oh, here we go.
Happy downtown.
Yes. Now, one thing you learn about radio stations, especially ones that are operating on a low budget, is to bring your own headphones. I'm not saying that some of the people I've seen here this afternoon are unsanitary, but I'm not going to deny that. Yeah, so that was a song called Rub Down Downtown. Now, this is back in the day, punk rock music, but, you know, I've always had kind of a muse that's more based on philosophical concerns. So that song kind of originated, it eventually became a video production that was recorded down at the Emily Carr School of Art and Design by a guy who was taking one of those programs down there. And like many people who are interested in the technology of video, he would never write a script. Does that sound familiar, Jay? So I wrote him a script and recorded some songs, and Jay, who's here on camera, Jay Riera, walked on his hands during that particular song while Jamie Bowers was singing a version of it. That particular video shoot did not involve Jay completely naked, but since among his assets some are hidden, we made sure we had some of those in the video oeuvre. Maybe we'll upload those up to YouTube for you kids who have a series of tubes, including a YouTube. Yeah, we are recording this on video. I thought there might be a little more critical mass, but this reminds me of the days of old. It's me and some other guy who looks like a propeller head. Have you heard that expression?
No.
Propeller head, that's, those beanies with the propellers that go around. Yeah, we're calling you a tech, in the nicest way. Maybe not the nicest way, because after all, I'm saying it, and by definition, it won't be very nice if I'm saying it. Anyway, so, yeah, Rub Down Downtown was based on the idea of how fitness is connected with this reductionistic view of people as really just being objects, pieces of material. And, pumping iron, I think, had come out a few years before Joe Weider had this idea of be a body, live your body. So I thought, well, if you didn't think there was any source of truth or justification, a thoroughgoing cynical view of the world leads to kind of a pessimism. Now, the most famous pessimist in the past was Dr. Salinas, who was asked, what's best for mankind? He said, to have never been born. And they said, well, what's next best? And he goes, to die soon. So I thought if he was living, in the early 80s, he'd be a psychiatrist helping people reconcile themselves to this pursuit of perfect bodies at a gym. So Rub Down Downtown was a place where you get a little therapy, you were given a philosophy of this thoroughgoing materialism and narcissism. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting little idea. Of course, God Save the Queen was far more popular, but what could I say? My stuff was better. Now, of course, if there was any filter on me right now, they'd be going, Naylor, are you going to stop playing some of your songs? And to that, I guess I'll have to give a direct answer. Apparently not. Here's another one. Oh! Now, you see, I don't have to apologize about the fact that that's jazz because, you notice, it was only 2 minutes long. I'm jumping off the boat. Yeah. The band is terrible. And as you can see, I'm doing the vocals on those. Why? Because I can't wait for singers. Jack Matthews was on guitar. I think he did a little bit of the drum programming on that, too. And me, yelling into a microphone. I guess I'm indirectly referring to an occupation I had. When I was 17, I was an exchange student in Belgium for a year. And I actually kept myself in beer and spare money by playing Pong. So I was a professional video game player, which I think is transposed down to my son, who's a much more sophisticated PS3 player. I have a PS3, but I don't think I've ever used the game function on it. Great for Blu-rays, though, music and so forth. It turned out, though, that the place where I was playing Pong professionally, I used to compete against the guy who owned the bar all the time, and there was a lot of very shapely women who would be pressing their breasts into my right arm. Now, I was very good at handling knobs for music and so forth, but this was distracting. And then just before my year over in Belgium finished off, that beautiful historic building, which I think was built in the 14th century, was actually a front for a large prostitution house, and that those girls were actually making a lot of money doing something that, well, I don't know, they could have made more money if they'd come to Canada, met Hugh Hefner, Dorothy Stratton. I guess it was around the same time. All right, so what else? Let's just keep going on this beautiful little exchange here. Oh, They Were Toadsters, another moderate hit at CITR. They were toadsters. What is that song about? I think it's about libertarianism. Long before Ayn Rand. All right, so here's a gal who got quite famous, who I played with for many years. Jamie Bowers is an actual multi-billionaire for music.
I know you. I supply and watch
share it
your
with
desire
me.
Grow. Everything I have is yours to own. And what I can't give, I'll loan. Take hell on, but share it with me. Noted Taurus, share it with me. Make it I just woke up. You sleep longer than me. We don't share a sense of urgency. I give faster than the usual rate. I gave too often. It can be and you say, it isn't fair.
All right.
Contact. Contract. I'll know you care. Burdens are all we mortals have to share.
Yes. Well, there you go. Nardwar the human serviette just walked in. Nice to see him. Now, Nardwar, I think, parlayed his talents into far more fame than I managed to do. You know that expression, stay in school? Now, when they say that, they usually don't mean forever. But that's what I did. I actually have, I'm up to 4 degrees. From UBC.
Damn.
4. Let's see. It's kind of interesting. After I finished my PhD, I was teaching in UBC's Arts One program. And I thought, this is kind of a crap job because you don't make much money and there's no job security. So I thought, maybe I should teach high school. So I applied to the Bachelor of Education program, and they said, you're not qualified. And I went, no, of course I'm not. So I actually had to go back and, instead of a BA in philosophy, get a BA in history and English. But by that time, I was working at UBC, so they actually paid for it, so that turned out all right. Now, while I was doing my Bachelor of Education, I did try to keep my identity secret, but I still had buddies actually across the road from the Bachelor of Education place, so they did notice that I kept on going and having lunch with them rather than the other teachers in training. Now, if you misspell a word, make sure you write the alphabet on the top of the board, then you can go oops and just pull the letter down that you misspelled the word with from the I had started to wonder, why do students come into university not really knowing how to, but education, we shan't talk too much more about that. I will tell you that Annette Ducharme, who was the lead singer on that, used a simile, sinking like a sunset, and that basically bought her a house because Tom Cochran recorded Sinking Like a Sunset, and that made her a big boatload of money. Now, life is a highway, that's a metaphor, because it's asserting an equivalence, but sinking like a sunset, simile, right? You're right. Attaboy. You're a high school teacher. Now, if you're the propeller head, and by that I mean the engineering type, what was your undergraduate major?
I'm actually the complete opposite of engineering. I went into English literature.
Well, shame on you.
And now I'm going into journalism.
Well, good. Well, that's an area where the job market is really on the upswing. who knows? Academia. I mean, look at me. I went into philosophy. Who am I to talk about job prospects? But no, I'm thinking, I should start a blog or something.
Thank you.
to release this video. I don't care how good I look. Oh, it's a camera here. Listen to that voice.
Oh, yes. Well, that actually charted on CITR's spin list at one point. We're the Android Sisters, which, of course, uses that wonderful speed-up technique. When I was an exchange student, I had a lot of time on my hands, but I had a reel-to-reel tape recorder and a bass. And I discovered that if you record a bass at half speed and play it back, it sounds like a guitar. So no wonder I... you know, have a bit of overlap there with Prince, because that was something he used to do all the time, too. I think, actually, we're almost exactly the same age. But I am not a Jehovah's Witness. That is the case. All right. What else have we got on this? Oh, this is some of the newer stuff I'm doing. Also a Naylord. Was kind of energetic, eh? David Steele. All right, let's do a mellow one from me and Dave. More Naylord for you here on CITR. 6:45, more alumni coming up.
Please forget, renew can bring regrets. Your tired story. Feeling sorry,
Is that a lovely song? Chase the Ideal, the name of that one. David Steele with Joe Naylor, George Capone, his good buddy, who was with the original Sinners, who won CITR's Fog Show back in 1980, which got us some recording time at Little Mountain Sound. It also got us some time to record at the PNE, where they had a remote facility. We used to do a bunch of gigs there. And even though, of course, being kind of jazzy, as you could tell, I'd never make any money playing music, but we used to get composers' royalties when we played concerts, so we'd do tons of shows, both at the sub-auditorium and at the PNE. And then we'd get a $2,000 Capeback royalty check, and oh boy, that's actually enough to buy yourself a nice old Fender bass or something like that. And George Capone is still recording, was the product rep for Korg on keyboards for many years, and has a nice YouTube recording. I think the name of the tune is Ants in Your Pants. So do look up that one with him and his one-man band. George and I both have this thing where we like to be one-man bands because it's hard to fit two egos the size of ours into one small studio space. And, you know, that's to be expected, probably. So let's see what else we got here. another one of George and I and Dave. Fixated on one thing, captivated by one dream. Why don't I try to discover more in life than another lover? Take up some more serious work, be a little less love berserk. My options are chosen so restrictively. My passion has spoken so addictively. Not all things are about love, though nothing else, baby, ranks above. Look at life with some detachment. Is it all about attachment? Can you hear me? Love's not fair, work's not rewarded. Try as you might, efforts loaded. Did I choose? Did love choose us? Our own nature that gave us a rush. Don't mistake a part for the whole. Put your attention just on one goal. I would have been appalled. Now I'm just amazed how judgment falters. My pulse is raised. More to life, more to life than love. More to life than love. So much more to be thinking of. Philosophy and poetry. Fine arts. The economy. and the fact that time is running out for CITR in this beautiful facility. It's sad, but hey, you know, change is something we must embrace since we are doomed to, you know, wither and die upon the root. So, some beautiful memorabilia here brought in. There's a lovely picture of me with my feet on each side of the walls of the UBC studio, with a byline from Neil McAllister, who took that picture. So now that I don't have to worry about injuring myself and compromising my DJing ability, I'll try that on the way out. My good buddy Jay will see if he can get a good shot of that. And then that could be the very end of my life. And we've come to the end of an hour already. That's pretty good. I had one kind of nauseating little, you know, kid from the demographic come in and say, "Can you turn that down?" And I thought of some things to say to him. "See you next Tuesday." Or something to that effect. But I, you know, don't have to give a parental guidance warning if I say, "See you next Tuesday." Do I?
No.
Exactly. Now, I'm sure that guy is really enjoying his rebellious freedom and the opportunities that CITR brings. It's funny, you know, I've been to a number of different reunions, and oddly enough, the CITR reunion, there was one in 87, I guess, because that was 50 years on the air. And the people at CITR who actually didn't, you know, obsess about their grades all the time, got to know some people, had some ideas in their head, actually did extremely well in life. So, kids, even though you're looking at me and going, "Naylor, what happened to you?" Yeah, I'd say I'm the exception that proves the rule. And, you know, remember, kids, that's what that phrase means. It means, yeah, it almost always holds, but there are exceptions, right? Don't be like, "Well, what about the one case of somebody?" No. That's why generalizations are proper objects of study. All right, so I'm almost at time. What else have I got in the CD? Oh, this is a pretty song. Play another pretty one for you. It's short.
Not my style, my dear.